And we're recording right now. And it's telling us recording.
Is the call already set up?
It takes effect May 1.
But he said he wasn't going to participate in this meeting, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Good morning, it's Pat. I couldn't do the Zoom thing.
Okay, are you 203-640?
2041, right.
All right. We're going to rename your box so we show it to you. What happens, for those who aren't aware, is these meetings have to be videoed. I assume you're recording. And yes. Technically, the person is supposed to say their name, but on Zoom, when you talk, your box shows up and it shows your name. So I don't think we have to have everybody saying their name every time they speak, just because the recording will show who it is that's talking. So with that, is there anybody from the public on who wishes to speak? All right. Next on the agenda is the review and approve the minutes of the March 11th board meeting. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved, Dick.
Second, Pat.
Okay. Any discussion or corrections? Lori, how are we taking vote? Are you going to do a roll call?
I am going to do a roll call.
Okay. I think we're ready to vote.
Director Stein?
Yes.
Director Barlow?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Hayden?
Yes.
Director Shanley?
Yes.
Director Fortuna?
Yes.
Director Bailey?
And I think you must be muted.
Oh, apologize. Yes.
Director Woodlitz?
Yes.
Director Swar?
Yes.
Luke Bronin's on as well.
Okay. You're on your cell phone, Luke?
Yes.
All right. So that's the 929 number, Lori. All right. Next item is a report from the Finance Committee regarding increasing the cap on 2020 transfers to the tip fee stabilization fund. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved. Scott.
Second.
Second, Jim.
Okay. Discussion, please. Find attachment.
Mark, why don't you just give the quick rundown of this resolution that was presented in Finance Committee last week?
Sure. So when we adopted the fiscal 2020 operating capital budgets, we did include a cap of $8.7 million in transfers from Property Division to the CSWS tip fee stabilization fund. And that represented a subsidy of $19.90 per ton off the CSWS tip fee. So based on transfers made through February, we will reach that cap before the transfer of receipts for April. And we're actually reaching it in March. The Property Division has been performing above budget expectations in terms of operating income. As of February 29, operating income was 8.7% above budget with 4 months remaining in the fiscal year. And obviously at the same time, the CSWS is struggling. It continues to experience deficits in both operating revenue and income. So this resolution is increasing that cap on transfers to the TIPI stabilization fund by $900,000. And the $900,000 is the maximum amount that management believes we can increase this cap on the distributions without affecting other budgeted transfers to other funds within the Property Division. And those other transfers included $800,000 to the severance fund, $200,000 to the Property Division Improvement Fund, and $1.1 million to the Property Division General Fund. So the resolution does say that all other transfers originally adopted remain in place.
We discussed this at the Finance Committee and reluctantly determined it was necessary in order to keep CSWS afloat.
We don't like that term. Any other questions or discussion on this? I guess we're ready to vote.
Chairman Stein?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Barlow?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Hayden?
Oh, Jim looks like he's out of the room. Oh, he's back.
Director Hayden?
Yes.
That was a yes.
Okay. Director Shanley?
Yes.
Director Fortuna?
Yes.
Director Bailey?
Yes.
Director Woodlitz?
Yes.
That's it.
Okay, nothing from the HR committee, apparently. Nothing from P&P. Chairman and President's report, I guess the only thing I have to report is the letter that we put together requesting a meeting with the governor's staff, including the DEP commissioner, went out. We've had no response, I assume, Tom? You're on mute.
That's correct, Don. No response yet.
Yeah, and I called Katie Deitz on her cell phone. I called Lee Sawyer on his cell phone, left them both messages, and I've not heard back from either one of them. So I assume they're preoccupied with all the actions taking place due to the pandemic. But I think one of the things we will have to talk about, obviously, later in the meeting is what do we do at this point in time with no action possible on the part of the legislature and no action from the executive branch. But I think that's for executive session. Pat, were you trying to talk?
No.
Okay, your box was highlighted, so I didn't know if you had tried to say something.
Oh, okay.
All right, Tom, I guess it's your nickel now.
Okay, I have an abbreviated president's report. The data and operating financial statistics in your package reflect operating and financial data up to and including February 2020. For an operating review, our operating revenue is $4.5 million, it's 19% below budget. That's due to energy sales and waste receipts below budgeted anticipated amounts. Our year to date, we're 11% below budget. On accrued expenditures, $5.54 million, which is 9% below budget. That's favorable due to the reduced throughput of waste. Primary driver there is ash disposal costs. And year to date, we're 9% under budget, favorable to budget. On energy and power, it's important to note that effective April 1st of this year, our year-long contract for sale of energy expired. That was, as it turned out, a favorable rate, just under 4 cents a kilowatt. That's now expired. We have not been able to replicate or find an acceptable long-term contract, although we continue to work with our consultant, Dame Mark, and our contractor, Net Florida Power.
Nextera.
The Florida Power Company to find a replacement firm contract for our sales. We are operating at a reduced load due to insufficient waste. It's not that waste is insufficient, it's that it's insufficient at a price that makes sense to continue to operate. So we're running two boilers or boilers at reduced capacity to reflect and match the incoming waste. Moving on to some other items. Operationally,
Tom, if I could, have we seen any reduction in the waste volumes as a result of the shutdown?
Yes, it's been modest, but there has been a small reduction as far as we can see. There are many moving parts in our waste deliveries. Whether or not we're accepting non-participating waste or interruptible waste. But when we correct or control for those variables, we are seeing a small increase year over year, which we attribute to the mitigation efforts and the change in the economy. It's frankly less than I had originally anticipated. There's a number of theories about why that may be. I think you may find if you're working from home and spending more time at home, you're probably generating more waste than you have in the past, but that is offset substantially by the fact that the commercial waste routes are coming in extraordinarily light. If you were to think of West Farms Mall, how many pickups a day or a week there will be at West Farms Mall, which have completely gone away, and many other restaurants and commercial activities that are at reduced level or shutting down because of the mitigation efforts. But yes, there has been a small reduction in waste. The facilities are operating. I'm sorry, go ahead, Rick, Dick.
I just said thank you.
Okay. The facilities continue to operate well without significant impacts from the mitigation efforts. Our personnel, there have been a number of folks sent home with symptoms or quarantined due to contact with positive tested individuals. Many of them have returned back to work. There are no incidents or concerns. I shouldn't say there have been no problems with getting deliveries of necessary reagents and supplies for the facility that have impacted our operations, so we're very pleased with that. NAES is handling their personnel and their operations very well, given the challenges. Those that are sent home for quarantine are on a reduced pay, but are being paid. That reduction is to reflect the perverse incentive to find some reason to stay home. But it seems to be working out pretty well. We haven't had any outages associated with personnel being unavailable. As I mentioned, waste deliveries appear to be slightly reduced due to the mitigation. We're working with area hospitals regarding the proper protocol for waste deliveries. There was concerns raised by industry groups over, in particular, drive-through testing waste from the pop-up drive-through COVID-19 testing centers, that waste was being properly managed as a biohazard waste. We are working with Hartford Hospital, St. Francis, and others to ensure that the biohazardous waste is properly managed and not sent to us. We're satisfied with the communications we've had with those hospitals after a couple of concerns raised by our operators earlier in the session. And the Wallingford solar site has now been cleared and made ready for the installation of the solar panels. If you recall, the board voted to approve that moving forward just a few months ago. And we'll talk about it a little bit more in executive session, but there are no significant developments in the SRRT redevelopment project. And that's it for the president's report. I think next up
any questions for Tom? Okay, next then would be behind attachment three. There's a resolution regarding the fiscal year 2020 pilot payment in lieu of taxes with the city of Hartford. Motion to approve.
So moved.
So moved, Dick.
Is there a second?
Second, Ed, from Ed.
Okay, Tom, you want to
yes.
touch on that briefly?
This is the budgeted quantity, $1.5 million. The budget specified that a board vote would be necessary to make the payment. We're ready to make that payment, and Mark will execute as soon as the board approves this. This is a vote that needs eight, but we have all eight directors with us, so we can take care of this today and administer that payment.
The resolution is not specific to a payment value, though, Tom.
That's an oversight on our part. It's $1.5 million in the budget.
Okay, but the resolution says you're hereby authorized to negotiate and execute a new agreement.
Yes, a new agreement is required. Lori has prepared one. It specifies $1.5 million. A new agreement is a requirement of the budget resolution in order to make the payment, as opposed to just a procurement. Is that correct, Lori?
Yes.
So does this resolution cover what we're trying
to do? We might want to...
Lori, does this resolution cover what we're trying to accomplish here?
It's meant to. Tom is authorized to negotiate the terms of the agreement substantially as discussed at this meeting, and that is the $1.5 million.
Is it a problem, Lori, to amend the resolution to specify $1.5 million?
No, I don't think so.
Or to specify what's included. It mentions a line item up earlier, but it just mentions it in the first whereas. So I think, yeah, I think we should amend this to be more specific.
Is the maker of the motion, I would move that the resolution include the amount of $1.5 million.
Is there a second on that amendment?
I'll second. That's it.
Just a question on that. Is this a single payment of 1.5 or is this two payments of $750?
This would be a single payment, John. Since the contract is coming, you know, late towards the end of the fiscal year, we would need to just do one payment at the end. Normally we would have a contract in place at the beginning of the year and pay it out two times, as you probably recall.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Any other discussion or questions on either the amendment or the main motion? All right, so Laura, I think we have to vote on the amendment first.
Okay. Chairman Stein?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Barlow?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Hayden?
Yes.
Director Shanley?
Yes.
Director Fortuna?
Yes.
Director Bailey?
Yes.
Director Widlitz?
Yes.
Director Swar?
Yes.
Director Bronin?
I should probably recuse or abstain.
Okay.
All right, now we have an amended motion to vote on. Any other comments or questions? I guess we should vote.
Chairman Stein?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Barlow?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Hayden?
Yes.
Director Shanley?
Yes.
Director Fortuna?
Yes.
Director Bailey?
Yes.
Director Widlitz?
Yes.
Director Swar?
Yes.
Director Bronin?
Abstain.
Okay, we have one more resolution to discuss and act on. On attachment four, ratification of an emergency procurement contract. Is there a motion to approve?
This is Pat. I'll move the motion.
Don, I'll second.
That was Ed?
John Adams.
Oh, John Adams, sorry. All right. Tom and Mark, want to discuss this one?
Yes, this is the package of property tax, property insurance coverage that our Beecher Carlson, our agent, has been able to pull together. It amounts to about 80% coverage from a variety of carriers with a variety of details on deductibles, limits, and costs, very importantly. We're pleased that we're able to find this coverage. If you recall, in past meetings, we were concerned that we'd be able to get any more than the roughly 30% coverage that we've been able to renew from prior prior accounts. But this brings us to a situation where we have 80% coverage. The coverage is heavily skewed towards a catastrophic failure. It would be very little relief in a more modest claim, but a catastrophic situation would provide MIRA with significant protection to the tune of about 80% of our projected maximum loss. The reason we elected to recommend moving forward with this was, despite the significant increase in cost, premium cost for this coverage versus prior years, was the importance of having the option to options available to the state in the event of a catastrophic failure. To not have this coverage would put the state in a very difficult situation as far as being able to provide for waste disposal moving forward. So we reluctantly recommend continuing accepting this resolution for what amounts to about 80% coverage of property insurance at a variety of deductibles, premiums, and exclusions to provide the best coverage we can get for the facility. Mark, is there anything you'd like to add to that, or Lori?
No.
There's a little bit of good news in there, at least, so, or a lot of good news compared to where we thought we were at. Somebody else was trying to talk?
I was just going to mention the this piece that's being approved now goes through April of next year, and that's the essentially 70% of the package, and then the 30%, if the members recall, we had previously bound, and that goes through the end of this calendar year. So we'll be back out in the market towards the end of the calendar year to try and fill up that 30%. So these numbers are high and still don't have the full program filled out. But I certainly agree with Don that it's a heck of a lot better than where we were. And it's the responsible thing to do, although I don't like the cost.
I have a question for anyone. Was there an analysis done if this policy was in effect, or if this scenario was in effect with the claims that we had last year, what would have been the outcome?
Good question, Ed. Yes, we did do that analysis. It was made to order for examining this opportunity, and we get little or no benefit at all from a similar failure, a two turbine failure that we experienced back in winter of 2018. That I think underlines the nature of the change. It is truly a catastrophic program we have. the deductibles are such that there'd be very little revenue or claim associated with a two-turbine failure with the business interruption and the extra expense costs that we had back in 2018.
Thanks.
Any other comments or questions? I guess we're ready to vote.
Chairman Stein?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Barlow?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Hayden?
Yes.
Director Shanley?
Yes.
Director Fortuna?
Yes.
Director Bailey?
Yes.
Director Whitlips?
Yes.
Director Swar?
Yes.
Director Bronin?
Yes.
I think that concludes the regular meeting. Is there anything else, Tom, for the open session?
No, that's it for open session.
We're going to move to the conference call for the executive session.
Correct. And for the benefit of the board members, that is the conference call on your card, the 877 number. The public will not be invited to that. It'll just be the usual suspects, Lori, Pete, Mark, myself, and Ann. If anyone needs that number, you know what? I'll just send it out right now in email.
Please do. I don't have the card here.
Sure.
Is that the one you sent earlier, Tom?
I'm sorry. I've sent so many. It's the one beginning with 877.
All right, you're gonna resend it.
I'll send it in just a moment here.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we need a motion to go into executive session with members of the staff that Tom mentioned earlier. I need a motion on that first.
I don't move to go into executive session. Second.
Executive session, as stated on the agenda, with the members of the staff that Tom mentioned. Somebody make that motion?
I made that motion.
I seconded it.
Okay. Can you vote, please?
Chairman Stein?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Barlow?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Hayden?
Yes.
Director Shanley?
Yes.
Director Fortuna?
Yes.
Director Bailey?
Yes.
Director Whitlips?
Yes.
Director Swar?
Yes.
Director Bronin?
Yes.
All right, so at this point, we're going to close this meeting and then people dial in. I assume we'll get started in 5 or so minutes.
Correct. I'll go ahead and host that meeting and we'll get started as soon as we've got everybody on board.